Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Calling Monster Island, where I, the host Godzilla Kid, will tell you all there is to know about Godzilla. I think we need to talk about Cinemassacre. So this is actually the second time that I tried to record this. Cinemassacre, if you don't know, is a YouTube channel, which is the host for content like, The Angry Video Game Nerd, and, Rental Reviews, and James and Mike Mondays, and a lot of things that involve, internet celebrity James Rolfe. Honestly, if you're not familiar with Cinemassacre, and you, like, genuinely are a part of, like, internet culture, I don't entirely understand how you haven't heard of Cinemassacre, but, you know. I want to go over some things. I spent an hour and 5 minutes talking about this, last night, actually. Then the recording got deleted accidentally, so, yeah. I want to talk about Cinemassacre. Maybe not for as long, but... oh, God. yeah, so... I think we should get to the main reason that I, wanted to make this video, and... it's really the decline of the Angry Video Game Nerd. So if you know the Angry Video Game Nerd, you know, it's kind of where other channels, it's kind of where YouTube really started to become a big thing. He basically, makes, he has this character, James Rolfe has this character known as the Angry Video Game Nerd, who plays old video games and gets angry, often playing really bad games, like, a bunch of licensed LJN NES games and things like that. I like the older seasons of Angry Video Game Nerd. I like, for instance, seasons like 1 through 7 are really quite good, actually. And I think, like, I'm not sure, but I feel that the decline of Cinemassacre, specifically the decline of the AVGN, is that originally this was just a passion project started by James Rolfe that blew up on the internet because it was released at the right time. It was the right thing at the right time, you know? YouTube was just starting and internet culture really wasn't developed. And James Rolfe kind of helped shape internet history. And he had so much passion. I mean, you can feel, like, the emotion and the energy coming off of him in those earlier episodes when he's talking about, like, freaking Nightmare on Elm Street on the NES, you know? Like, he really had a lot of passion for the project. And he was also, he had also just gotten out of film school at that point. He was, like, in his, like, early 20s, I believe, at that point. And so, he was doing a lot of, like, dynamic camera angles, right? For, the Nightmare on Elm Street episode in particular, I know I've mentioned this episode, like, 3 times already, but, like, it is genuinely one of my favorite nerd episodes. Not only because I love Nightmare on Elm Street, but whatever. He does this camera angle with, with his, like, version of Freddy Krueger, where you can never see his face. You can never see his face. You can see his hat. You can see the figure, right? And you can see him moving his finger knives around. But his hat and, like, the lighting is casting such a big shadow, you can never see his face, and it's all, like, natural lighting, and it looks really cool, actually. So it kind of hides the actor, so it's like, oh, who's actually, you know, Freddy Krueger in the episode? And then he, you know, like, Freddy changes his face to look like the nerd, and he's like, your nightmares are all the games! And, you know, it's really the two-parter, the first Halloween two-parter in general is actually, like, really, really good. The Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street two-parter, really good. He's giving, like, a genuine review of the games while also kind of telling a story, which is what I really like about some of the older AVGN episodes, is that they tell a story, but they still give a good, genuine review of what's wrong with the game. He doesn't just say, this game is worse than, this game is worse than, ramming a pencil up my ear while a donkey diarrhea dumps on my face or something. Like, that's all the new episodes are. And I feel like that's genuinely the problem, is that all the passion in the older AVGN episodes was used for setting up camera angles and setting up the stories, but also having a genuinely good review of the game. If the game was really bad, the reviews were longer. Like, I believe the Nightmare on Elm Street video is like 15 minutes long, which is pretty long for old nerd content. But now the videos range from like anywhere to 35, like 20 to 35 minutes minimum. And it's like, that's really just not great. Like, it kind of cuts the flow of the show in half. Like, if I, personally am in kind of in the middle of binge watching all of the seasons of the Angry Video Game Nerd, right? And if you go back, because Cinemassacre and the Cinemassacre Clips channel has put the seasons into like compilation videos, you know, if you go back and look at some of the older seasons, they're like an hour and a half for about one season, and that's not bad. Like, I could binge a whole season in, like, a night, or I could binge, like, three or four seasons in a night, you know? It's very accessible to new viewers, you know? But then you just start going on and on and on, and you get to the newer episodes, and the newer seasons, like, season 14 only didn't have as many episodes, but it was, like, twice as long as season 1, and season 1 has much better episodes, and it's just crazy to me, because what are you doing, you know? Like, what exactly are you doing with your show? Like, and you could say, oh, he's, you know, just not that, like, into it anymore, then quit the show. I know he has an MCN, but, like, he could have quit so long ago. Couldn't he, like, he has to be re-signing this contract, right? Because, like, didn't Screw Attack go out of business in, like, 2010, I think? Let me check real quick. I'm gonna check when Screw Attack went out of business. When did Screw Attack? Go out of business. Okay, I'm really sorry for all the dead space. That's very unprofessional of me. Screw Attack was acquired by Fullscreen. Oh, March 2014. Yeah. Yeah, like, 2014, you could have had a chance to just leave ScreenWave at that point. I genuinely don't understand why he hasn't, if he just has no passion for it. Like, the AVGN movie... God, okay. I don't want to talk about the AVGN movie. Okay, so the AVGN movie isn't where this content divide started, but I feel like it's really where it got bad. Like, really where you could tell that the nerd was not really into it anymore. I mean, the nerd movie itself, he was into it. Right? The nerd movie's not very good. I think it actually is quite awful. They tried to extend the plot of a AVGN episode into a feature-length film, and it just doesn't work. And what's really interesting to me, actually, is it went direct-to-video. I mean, it had a small theater release in, like, 2 or 3 theaters across America, I think. But it really just went direct-to-video, pretty much. And it's not very good. I personally, have seen it, and, I don't suggest you watch it. It's pretty egregious. I mean... I was, in the middle of watching it, I realized, this movie is made by a man who loves film at the end of the day. That's why he made AVGN. That's why he started AVGN. I mean, he did a review of Simon's Quest, and then, Mike Matei, his good friend from college, was like, dude, this is really funny. You should make more, you know? He made it on VHS. Mike Matei. Kind of the reason we have AVGN. Was like, you should make more of this. This is really funny. So he made another one with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And that was kind of the end of it. Then 2 years later, in 2006, YouTube happens. And he ends up posting his 2 old reviews and doing, like, the first traditional nerd episode where, you know, you really get to see the nerd set and, you know, his old house at that point. And that's when it felt so organic, you know? Old AVGN just felt organic at that point. I personally really, really enjoy, just going back and watching season one. Like, season one, I don't think it's the best season of AVGN, but it's the one that makes me most happy. And I go and watch season one of AVGN, and then I watch the AVGN movie, and it's just like, there's a difference here. There's really a difference here. Because the AVGN movie... The AVGN, first of all, started as a review show, and the AVGN movie is this weird, like, fan film. I don't know. It feels like something that a fan would make. It really does. But it's so interesting to me because the AVGN movie, has, like, the side plot of a Nostalgia Critic episode. You know, like, the Nostalgia Critic, he has his main review, which is the vast majority of the episode, and then he has his kind of weird subplot. So, like, for the Nostalgia Critic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows video, he had Black Nerd Comedy, the AVGN, and him all in one video, and they were looking for what they considered the heart of Ninja Turtles, which was what started their love for the series. And they are, like, doing this weird, like, walk shuffle that makes them look like NPCs in a frickin' video game on, like, a green screen, and they're showing, like, kind of blurred out pictures of, like, or wait, no, that was just the 2014 Nostalgia Critic, or the 2014 TMNT film. It's the nerd and the critic walking, and they're trying to find the heart of Ninja Turtles, whatever. It's really weird. Like, the plots in the Nostalgia Critic really have no bearing to the actual episode. And, they're awful. Like, they're horrendous to watch. The Nostalgia Critic reviews aren't that good either. but, like, honestly, I do watch some Nostalgia Critic, content just because it really is just so bad it's good, honestly. It's the same reason I watch, like, Samurai Cop every year. It's just so awful, I can't help but kind of enjoy it. But, like, the plot of the AVGN movie, and I'm not here to review the AVGN movie, right? I don't even know why I've been talking about it for this long. But basically, it's about a government agency that wants to remake the E.T. game for a modern audience so that the AVGN will review it and get the millions of dollars. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it just was so awful. But after the AVGN movie and so many negative reviews from fans and critics alike came in, I feel like the AVGN just really lost his passion for the trade, you know? I was watching the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas episode. He was making it was a review of the Super Nintendo game Vegas Stakes, but he was doing a parody of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and the whole thing just felt lost, kind of. Like, just really tonally inconsistent. Like, he was originally reviewing, like, Vegas games, right? Or casino games on Super Nintendo. And then he just starts talking about, like, the LSD simulator on PSX. And it's just like, how did we get to this point? Like, I get that it's a parody of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but this isn't a good review. This is a parody. And, you know, if you wanted to make this as, like, I don't know, side content, this does not feel like the nerd. This is not the nerd at this point. I don't even see the nerd in the newer videos. Like, the Earthworm Jim video was god-awful. I fell asleep halfway through and then woke up when he started talking about Earthworm Jim 3, 3D, whatever. It is truly awful. Like, I almost fell back asleep while he was talking about Earthworm Jim 3. I'm not trying to tear down the AVGN. And there are other things about Cinemassacre that I want to get to in this episode. But really, the AVGN has gone down in quality so much. And that shouldn't be the case, right? Like, the AVGN used to be a influential person on YouTube that people aspired to be like. You got the Nostalgia Critic was the big one. Pat the NES Punk. Why can I only think of Pat the NES Punk and Nostalgia Critic? Oh, Linkara, another person that Oni Plays really likes to make fun of. Yeah, I went back and watched some old Linkara videos because of Oni Plays. Oh god, what? Why did anyone ever think these were good? Also, The Lightbringer? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna get into all that, because Linkara will scream about me on a Twitch stream. Whatever, you know, it's fine. It's fine, it's fine. I think it's interesting that, what's it called? Oh, AVGN. I think it's interesting that AVGN has fallen so far down in so little time. I mean, I know it's been, like, years, but the channel's been around for, like, 20 years at this point. It's seen the evolution of YouTube. I feel like if James, as a person, just realized, people don't like this anymore. Like, I need to change my show for it to stay relevant, then I think, personally, we would get more interesting nerd content. Like, genuine reviews with the same dynamic camera angles and, like, goofy subplots that we got in the earlier episodes. Like, I don't think that we need this weird, like, retrend of nostalgia that just, like, wants to hammer home the point that he's angry and he talks about crap all the time. Not like crap. I'm not using that as, like, an analogy for the games. I'm saying, like, he talks about genuine crap more than he probably talks about the video games on his show. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episode is a very good example of this, right? So, the AVGN in that episode gives a very detailed review of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles NES game. And he's like, how do I make this jump? Like, they wanted kids to play this, right? Or, no, the exact thing he says is, like, who's the prime audience for this, right? People who watched the Ninja Turtle cartoon, okay? Back in, like, the 80s, you know. Who, or how old were the people who watched the Ninja Turtle cartoon in the 80s? 6 to 12 year olds, you know? This game is not for children. This game is for, like, masochists. And watching that review again, I watched it, like, 2 days ago. Yeah, still holds up. I still think pretty much all of those complaints are genuine. This game is not for children. This is for, like, actual, like, people who speedrun Dark Souls. This is for Kieran, a person who I'm sure we'll get to in this episode. But then, at the end of the episode, he goes on a rant about how much this game sucks. And he's like, I think he's, I don't know. It's different, you know? There's so much, nuance to it, I guess. Like, it's not highbrow entertainment. I'm not trying to say that the angry video game nerd is highbrow entertainment, and the older episodes are so much more intelligent and thought-provoking than the newer episodes are, and that's not what I'm trying to say, because I'll just come off like a total, just, like, snob if I say that, and they're not, right? They're not. They're YouTube videos made by a guy in his house. But They had passion. They had soul, and they had emotion. The new AVGN episodes really just seem soulless. In my first recording of this episode, I went into a big breakdown about the new AVGN episode. I really don't think I have to. I really just don't see it necessary to waste my time, honestly. If you're really that interested, you can go check it out. It's a 26-minute long video about Indiana Jones games. It's supposed to be a sequel to the first game. You know, the first video, like the first Indiana Jones games video. It's supposed to be a sequel to that, and I went back and I rewatched the old Indiana Jones episode, and he's talking about these Atari games, and these NES games, and he's like dressed up in this Indiana Jones costume while he's playing these NES games and these Atari games, you know? And everything feels so simple, you know? Nothing feels like this is the same guy who will go on to make Rex Viper, you know? we're gonna get to Rex Viper, don't you worry. I'm almost done talking about AVGN, so just give me a moment. He had so much love for what he was doing, you know? And then I just watched this episode, and they have this running gag of the AVGN finding the Dial of Destiny. Halfway through the episode, he finds the Dial of Destiny in the present day, you know? By the way, the vast majority of the episode takes place in the past, in like 2008, when Crystal Skull came out. But they have this running gag where the AVGN, he's like, I found the real Dial of Destiny, and he's like, it's a little dusty, and it's got some mud on it, and he's like, wait, that's not mud, that's diarrhea. And so, you know, there's this thing on the AVGN where he'll be like, that game's real high on the diarrhea dial, you know, and he's like, it's the diarrhea dial, it's real. So he starts cranking this thing, and dialing some of it. And the more and more he dials it, the worse and worse the games get in the past. And it goes on for 15 minutes. And it's just like, it's so boring. And it's just, I don't understand. I don't know. Something was lost a while ago with the AVGN, and I'm not sure what it is, and I'm not sure if we'll ever see it again, but something was genuinely lost. So I don't know if it was some passion or spark of creativity or something. It's just, something was lost, and that's just so sad to me. Like, because I love Cinemassacre. I have for a while. But I just don't enjoy their content anymore. I don't really enjoy the AVGN anymore. I don't really enjoy all the weird side content that James Rolfe is posting that is probably half written by Justin Silverman, who, believe me, we'll get to in this episode. And just everything, having the involvement of someone else, and just everything feeling so unnatural and rushed and weird and just downright bad. I think the AVGN, in few words, can be described as an influential character. If the content that was coming out today was the first time that the AVGN had ever been on the internet, I don't think his content would have been as loved as it was. Like, if he started posting what he's posting now as his, let's say, okay, this is a random one, but let's say he posted his Dirty Harry episode as his first episode of AVGN. AVGN would have been done years ago. It would have been this weird time capsule of the internet, and it would have stayed dead for a while. But the AVGN, that's not what this is about. Like, right? The AVGN has had Blu-ray and DVD box sets. The AVGN has had video games. The AVGN has t-shirts and all kinds of weird other merchandise. The AVGN has gone through plagiarism multiple times. And the AVGN, sometimes, most of the times nowadays, barely plays the games that he's reviewing on the channel. I don't know, man. I think the involvement of this big company, I think for Screw Attack, right, when they were just releasing, like, the DVDs and the Blu-rays, I think that's not, like, too much to ask. Like, if you're making content, you want it to be preserved in a way that even if YouTube goes away someday, those DVDs still exist, you know? The AVGN BFG collection still exists, even though apparently the box art was legit just stolen fan art. So I just bumped the mic. I don't know if you could hear that, but sorry. I don't know. The AVGN, just I'm still supporting it because I just want to see the old nerd again, you know? And I know this episode isn't going to do anything about that. I know somebody at Screenwave Media isn't going to hear this and be like, dude, listen to this kid. Like, you know, we need to change AVGN. No, that's not going to happen. You know, I know that's not going to happen. But I can hope, you know, I can hope that somebody will see something and just, not this video, maybe not even like genuine haters of, or maybe not haters, but like critiquers of the AVGN, but they'll see something. Maybe in themselves, maybe in their content, that just wasn't the same. And I really hope this is what James does, okay? I really hope James just looks back on his old nerd episodes and he realizes this isn't the same. This isn't what I was doing before. I'm lost, you know? Like, I hope he realizes that his content is not in a good place right now. And the people that genuinely do still like the nerd aren't the people who are going to be returning week after week watching what is coming on Cinemassacre. They're the people who see the AVGN and they're recommended feed or get a clip of it on, like, TikTok or something and laugh at a funny clip, you know? They're not watching, like, full episodes of the AVGN. There are people who will just see clips and say, oh, that's, yeah, that's funny, or whatever. I don't think the AVGN is fit to survive in the modern internet demographic. I just don't. And that crushes me, because really, genuinely, if you go back and watch seasons like 1 through 7 of The Angry Video Game Nerd, you'll see what I mean. There was real hope, real imagination, and drop the mic again. Jeez. Okay. There's real creativity behind it, you know? And I feel like it's been lost. I really do. I feel like it's been lost. And I just, I don't know. I'm not sure if I should be sad that the AVGN is now less of a passion project and more just a merchandising outlet. Or should I be mad that no one at the actual company has realized this yet and hasn't taken any action against it, you know? I don't know. Honestly, I feel like if there was different management and there wasn't Justin Silverman in charge of everything, I think things would be a lot different. But, yeah. We'll talk about Justin. Actually, that's what I wanted to talk about next. Justin Silverman. No one's favorite new member of Cinemassacre. So, if you are like me, you kind of just watch Cinemassacre for, or newer Cinemassacre for, rental reviews, which they unfortunately ended, like, a while ago. But, rental reviews is really interesting to me, actually, because it feels a lot more genuine, you know? You got rental reviews, where it's just a bunch of dudes hanging out, talking about movies that they enjoy, and movies that they don't enjoy, and it doesn't feel scripted, it doesn't feel rushed, it doesn't feel, like, unorganic. Everything feels genuine and organic about this recording, you know? And it really was, like, actual, like, good content, I think. And Tony from Hack the Movies was on there. Like, dude, Hack the Movies is basically kind of just rental reviews, but with all kinds of movies instead of just, like, older ones. Although I know rental reviews have, like, some Marvel movie reviews, and they had, like, Godzilla King of the Monsters on there one time. I don't know. Rental reviews, cool, you know? But it introduced some new faces that we hadn't seen on Cinemassacre before. Introduced Kieran, introduced Tony from Hack the Movies, and introduced Justin Silverman. Justin Silverman, everybody. So let's run down these new members, starting with the least offensive first. Tony from Hack the Movies. Tony, he's just a dude who enjoys bad movies and good movies, and he's obviously just a guy, you know? He just seems like he's hanging out with his friends and having fun, talking about whatever, you know? Next guy, Kieran, he kind of just feels the same. He feels the same as Tony. He doesn't, you know, have Hack the Movies. He has his Twitch channel, where he just plays whatever. I will say, though, Kieran definitely seems to have something some kind of beef with Justin, the next guy. Oh, God. Justin Silverman, everybody. Give this man a... not a round of applause, whatever the opposite of a round of applause is. Justin Silverman, first of all, I have seen actively give dirty looks to Kieran on rental reviews before. Like, he kind of just, like, glares at him with this, like, snarky, sarcastic look in his eye. And, I feel like he just tries to, like, stop Kieran from talking sometimes. And, you know, there's some, like, cuts and edits that are made to these reviews. I mean, that's, you know, when you're editing a video, you have to cut some stuff, or else you'd be talking about, especially if it's something that you like, you know, you have to cut some things down, or else you'll be talking for, like, 2 hours, and you'll just be like, this is not a video that people are gonna wanna listen to, you know? It's not very structured, so it works as a 25-minute, 30-minute video, you know? Again, this is where Rental Reviews is way better than The Nerd, because The Nerd worked as this formal review with a kind of, with, like, anger and rage put behind it, so it was, like, 7, 10, maybe 15 minutes long. Rental Reviews is just some dudes hanging out talking about movies. So, it can be longer, because friends hanging out usually takes more than 7 minutes. I would know. I have friends. I don't know. Rental Reviews just works, though, you know? Anyways, Justin Silverman, everybody. God. Where do I start with Justin? Okay, Justin, jeez. Justin feels like the guy that nobody invited to the party, but he shows up anyways, and, he brings, like, you know, like, you're having a party with all your friends, you know, all the bros, you know, and you're like, bring over some video games, we'll play some video games, I'll order a pizza, we'll eat some stuff, have some drinks, you know, have a lot of fun. And he, like, comes over and he brings, like, zero sugar Sprite and, like, the board game Sorry, and he's like, alright, is everybody ready to party? Or, I don't know, he's the guy that no one asked for, but he's always there, you know? He's the one member of the friend group that you want to leave constantly. You're just like, can you not be here? I've often heard him have standoffs with, not like actual standoffs, but like, he like, really oddly like, counters whatever people are thinking. Just so, I feel like he just counters whatever other people are thinking so that he can stand out as like, I'm the guy with the wacky opinions. No, you're not. That's like Tony. That's Tony. Tony's favorite Jurassic Park movie is Jurassic Park 3. Well, like, favorite sequel. And, I don't know. Justin Silverman is this annoying person who you don't want him to be there, because he's constantly, like, cramping the style of, like, Rental Reviews, and he's, like, genuinely not good for the show. I would rather not have Rental Reviews than have him be there the vast majority of the time. And, like, I like Rental Reviews, so, you know. Give it up for Justin Silverman, everybody. Boo! Get off the stage! I was watching this Dancing with Ghosts video, and he was talking about Rex Viper Live, and he was like, somebody finally told Justin to get off the stage! And, that brings me to my next point. Rex Viper. Jeez. Have you ever seen a cover band before of one of your favorite bands and just been so disappointed? Yeah, that's what Rex Viper is. Like, that's exactly what Rex Viper is. But they cover 80s music and mix it together with video game music. Okay. But the video game music isn't just, like, the 8-bit renditions or the 16-bit renditions of the video game music itself. It's this weird, like, electric guitar, like, this... Okay, let me rephrase this. This bad electric guitar remix of it. I've heard so many better versions of this kind of stuff before. For instance, 8-Bit Brigade. 8-Bit Brigade. Family Jewels. Richard E.B. Like, just... They don't mix, like, 80s music with it, but they do, like, these genuinely good, like, metal or, like, hard rock renditions of video game music. And it sounds good, right? It sounds good. Rex Viper is the opposite of good. So I have seen all of the Rex Viper music videos. I have also listened to all the songs multiple times. Not because I like them, but it's kind of a analyzation. Of them. So, let me just pull up the song list real quick. Cause you're not gonna believe these song titles, dude. Okay. So, first off, I'm on Apple Music, and it says at the bottom there's a similar artist section. It says Kyle, Justin, Stan Bush, and Weird Al Yankovic, and then right after that is Ninja Sex Party and Brental Floss. By the way, Ninja Sex Party and Brental Floss, two things that I really want to bring up in this episode. Also, Kyle, Justin, I really want to bring up in this episode, so I'll get to those. So starting with the first song, we got Mighty Wings and Hadoukens. Then from that, we have Nintendo Power of Love, Hearts on Fire, and Eye of the Tiger Electronics. You see a trend with this? Yeah, I do. It's poorly named covers of 80s songs with really bad versions of the original video game music mashed together into this weird blend of disgusting vomit that these people call music. Oh, and they did two... Oh, God. Major voice crack. Sorry. They did two... Count them. Two different live shows at Too Many Games. And people paid for these. Now, to be completely honest, I think they were included in, like, the pass. But, like, people sat through these live shows. I've seen recordings of them on YouTube before, and, they're not pretty. Oh, God. Okay. Another thing that, Dancing with Ghosts brought up in his video about the, about Rex Viper, actually, is how the lead guitarist in the videos sounds great, or not, like, great, but definitely, like, the most talented person on the team. And then in the live performances, he sounds terrible. Like, he sounds downright terrible. I don't know. It's genuinely baffling to me that they could have done that much, that, like, that many takes and, like, stitching together of the audio to make it sound semi-decent, and then in the live recording, they have the lead singer singing the like, tune while he plays it on the guitar. And I don't know if it's to, like, keep him in range or what, but, like, literally, he's doing this, like, really bad riff, like, this really bad version of the riff from Mega Man 2, the and just me doing that, right, that's fine, because I'm giving you a representation of it, you know? This is at a live show with, people with actual instruments, so this guy is playing the guitar, and he's like, and the lead singer is going, he's holding the mic like this. I know that peaked, I'm sorry, but that's genuinely, like, how close he's holding it to his mouth, and he goes, I probably should have told you to, like, turn your headphones down if you had headphones in, but, yeah, that's just, like, the experience of listening to Rex Viper live. I haven't personally experienced one of their live shows, and I hope I never do. But genuinely, I just don't understand whose idea this was. I know that there's that whole thing of, like, dude, they're just doing it for fun. Yeah, I could understand that if, like, they were just releasing the songs on YouTube and then releasing them with, like, videos and just, like, you know, leaving the comments on and just, like, putting it out there, you know? But they're doing live shows. People are paying for this, you know? Like, people are actually paying for this. Now, there's another band with a YouTube personality in it that I would like to talk about, and that is Ninja Sex Party. Ninja Sex Party is a band formed by Danny from Game Grumps and this guy named Brian. And, their band also started as doing covers of 80s music. Like, I believe their entire first album was just covers of 80s music. But they started doing more and more of their own, music. And so now, like, one of their most popular songs and one of my favorite songs by them from their album Cool Patrol from 2018, and it's called Danny Don't You Know, and it's really, really good. Actually, another song that I think is from that exact album, actually, is called First Date, and I wish I could play it on here, because it is genuinely, like, a good song. Now, here's the deal. I'm not just saying this because I like the Game Grumps, you know? Because I don't like the Game Grumps. I don't. I watch their Guest Grump episodes when they have, like, celebrity guests on. Mainly the ones with Ben Schwartz. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. I like Danny as a person. Aaron, aka Ego Raptor, cannot stand. I cannot stand that guy. and how much he wants Game Grumps to be this, like, highbrow entertainment. It's like a, it's an over-glorified Let's Play, dude. Like, get off your freaking high horse, dude. It's pretty much an unedited, over-glorified Let's Play. Like, I don't understand why you play, like, why you love yourself so much. You're not doing anything revolutionary. Like, I think Danny, he's funny. He's a cool guy. I actually would like to meet him, and I would like to see his band play. Aaron, I hope I never run into, like, ever. I would just full on be like, I don't know who you are. I don't like Danny, or not Danny. I don't like Aaron. I really don't like Aaron, actually. If you see an LS Mark talk about why he doesn't like Aaron before, that's pretty much why I don't like Aaron. He is such a snob who thinks that his content is like Face the Music from the Bill and Ted movies. Like, he thinks that he's gonna unite the world with his stupid little Let's Play channel, and it's like, dude, I genuinely do think that there are some Let's Play creators that have a pretty good following, and they're funny, you know? Oni Plays, for example, is really funny. I think Danny is funny, and I thought JonTron was funny when he was on Game Grumps. I just don't understand why you think this is more than a Let's Play, you know? And this is just getting way out there, you know? This isn't, like, this is even more than Cinemassacre, which is what I'm here to talk about. But, like, Ninja Sex Party was a passion project, just like Rex Viper, and it turned out so much better. I don't know. I just, like, okay. Ninja Sex Party? I have one of their albums on my phone, right? Those dudes, Rex Viper, you wouldn't catch me dead listening to Rex Viper. Like, you genuinely wouldn't. I hate Rex Viper. it is just so amazingly, like, it's so amazing how somebody with so much creativity can just start a band that is literally just a cover band. I mean, again, Ninja Sex Party started their first album, Under the Covers, is literally just a cover album. That's fine for a first album. But then they got into originals, and their originals are good. Rex Viper has done, like, no originals, and it's so stupid. Anyways, jeez. Okay, I'm done talking about Rex Viper. I know I said I wanted to bring up Parental Floss, but I really need to stop talking about Rex Viper, or this episode will be, like, 2 hours long. Pretty much the final thing I wanted to go over was, Mike Matei. Mike Matei pretty much has become, like, a shadow member of Cinemassacre. He still records gameplay for them, and still does all this stuff, but also, he Twitch streams, which, I've watched his streams before. I think he puts most of them on YouTube, like, recapped streams. I believe he streams every day. I'm not sure. But I don't know. Like, he's still funny, you know? He's still the same old Mike Matei from Board James and James and Mike Mondays and Retail Reviews. Oh god, Retail Reviews. Retail Reviews is pretty much what AVGN should have become. It's basically Rental Reviews, where it's just some guys talking about things they're passionate for. but it's video games instead of movies, and I really like that. So, yeah. But Mike Matei, you know, he's an interesting guy. I do think he's an interesting guy, and I really do enjoy his comedy. I enjoy watching him play video games. Just last night, actually, I watched a full playthrough of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out of him. He was playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and, like, he's just a guy, you know? And he was a part of Cinemassacre a lot more. And he left. There's a whole bunch of allegations. Not allegations, but, like, he drew some pretty racist stuff when he was, like, in college. To me personally, he was in college, so, like, I'm not sure if you should really pin that against him. Like, have you seen college kids before? They're pretty stupid. I mean, at least college boys, they're really stupid, you know? And also, Mike, gives off the impression that he was, like, trying to become a frat boy. So I'm not entirely sure if you should blame him, but also, like, racism isn't excusable ever, you know? So, like, it's a double-sided sword where it's like, well, if you become an apologist for him, it's like, well, he was racist. If you say that what he did was wrong, it's like, well, he was a college kid. So, you know, there's no true, real answer to it. I think he's funny at the end of the day. I'm sad that he left Cinemassacre, you know? Or lurks in the shadows of Cinemassacre. Final thing I'd like to talk about is the kind of dissonance, not dissonance, but like the distance that Cinemassacre has put themselves from Kyle Justin's original Angry Video Game Nerd theme song. They did an 8-bit rendition of the theme, just like an instrumental track, and it's also the theme song for the AVGN video game. And it's good, you know? It's good. But they don't use Kyle's original song anymore, and it's really weird. Like, it's really weird how much they've just, like, distanced themselves from him. And they don't, like, have him as, like, guest appearances. They don't bring him up anymore. There's no even references to, like, him behind the couch anymore in, like, AVGN. Like, he's just, like, apparently, like, not a part of anything anymore. I'd really like to know what happened, with him, actually, because, like, as Cinemass, or as, AVGN fans will know, he did a cover of Double Vision by Foreigner for the ColecoVision and Intellivision episode that AVGN made, and he also wrote the theme song. He's also just like a actual musician, or was, and he kind of stopped being a musician, and around like 2014, I think, he stopped making like new appearances in the AVGN show, and then they just kind of took his theme song out of the show, which is really weird, actually. For the longest time, they were just doing that sting at the end of the song where he goes, or not sting, but that part at the end of the song where he just goes, "He's the angry video game nerd," you know? For the longest time, they were just putting that in, you know? But now, they're just, like, doing the 8-bit version of the theme song, just the bow now, 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 bow now, 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 You know, you get the point. Anyways. Why does my mic keep dropping? I need to get, like, an actual mic stand. Okay, anyways. I know that peaked the audio. Okay. Maybe if I figure out how to use this new editing software, I can try to edit that out. But, anyways. That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. I want to see the AVGN go on, do good things, and, I want to return to form. That's really all I can say, is I want to return to form. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know how to end this. I'm not great with endings, but, you know, to quote James A. Janisse and, everybody at Dead Meat, just, be good people.